Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Pretty Messed Up. I'm AJ with my girl Cheryl Sherbear Burke.
Cheryl, all of a sudden.
Cheryl so Sherbear Burke and my señor, my amigo, my...
Mi amor.
Mi amor, Rene amor, Alessandro.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's good.
Your
good.
Intro was way better than mine.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm
you're
in
you're
denial.
Just, you're just upset because your knees hurt and you're blaming it all on me.
I'm not. No, this is definitely not you. This has been a long time coming on my lazy ass for not going to the doctor sooner. No, but okay. Make sure you guys tune in all the way to the end of this episode because we are going to tell you all the information that you need to know about the live, looped live podcast that we'll be doing on the 24th and check out our brand new merch that we're going to be putting out. So you guys go to the end of the podcast. Check it out. Let's just get right into it really quick because I just have to vent my opinion on something because it doesn't add up. Okay.
It's
actually pretty fucked up, but I'm just going to say it's pretty messed up for the sake of iHeart. But okay. So this is the last thing I'm going to say about it and I'm going to let sleeping dogs lie. So
we'll see.
Last week, Johnny and I, bottom two, Johnny gets a perfect score. We beat him in the relay, and I go home, you go home, okay? But that's a perfect score. That's his second time in the bottom two. Now, tonight, he's in the bottom three. And granted, he went home. But I think it's interesting, like we've talked about, the one time that there was a little mess up, we go home. But he had already been in the bottom two once before. That was our first time in the bottom two. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to me why now, a week later, Johnny goes home.
Because why? No. Because it does make sense to me. It's because no matter what score, he could have gotten 35 out of 30. His votes are not strong.
Okay. So then that makes me feel bad that our votes weren't strong last
week. No. That's not what it was. You were lower on the point system with the judges'
right.
score.
Yeah, yeah,
so you
yeah,
didn't
yeah,
have
yeah.
the judges' vote, but you had the people's vote. That's the
right,
difference.
Right. Yeah.
So
well, yes.
if you base it on a point system, let's say, right? Let's say 5 points go, let's say 5 out of 5 judges, 5 out of 5 live vote. It does make sense. It just means that no matter what Johnny could have done, the people are not voting for him to stay in.
Right, right. But I will say Final Four is an interesting group.
It's the Final Four. I mean, like, I feel like I agree with the Final Four, especially after Nelly's performance tonight.
Nelly's Paso Doble was dope.
Not that. His jive.
I thought it was dope, but his jive was so entertaining. But his Paso Doble was actually pretty good.
See, I thought that the music totally overtook. It was like the music was too powerful for them. And
okay, I could see that.
Feel like he moved as much. And then now that I saw his jive, I was like, I knew Nelly had it this whole season. If I were a judge, I would have been like, what? Like, this was the potential that I envisioned Nelly to look like that from week one.
He was way looser for sure.
It wasn't so much looser, but it was definitely the hard work. I think I could tell in their package. I'm not sure if you saw their package, but they got in a fight. They got in a little bicker moment, and I think it was because of the amount of steps he actually had to learn and the stress and having to do two dances, as you know. And so therefore comes a little tension, and especially with jive, you can't just stand there, especially in the semifinals.
No. Yeah.
From an outsider,
this guy danced.
No, I was going to say, from an outsider's perspective, I would have lost a lot of money. And first I'll say, I love Nelly. I've loved him for a long time. He's fantastic. His music's awesome, but I would have lost a lot of money that he would have made it this far. And that's where I'm impressed that you saw something.
It's just his votes. Clearly, he's getting the most votes than anybody.
That is for sure.
The people are making him stay. It's not his scores.
Oh,
he's still on the bottom. He's still on the bottom of the leaderboard, regardless.
So, but I thought I heard that he got tens.
Yes,
he
but
did
he's
get
still
tens
in the bottom.
Tonight.
We're doing it out of 60 now because there's two dances.
Yeah, so he had 27 out of 30 for his first dance and 30 out of 30 for his second dance.
Correct. So that still leaves him in the bottom
Neve got
of the leaderboard.
60. Yeah.
But as a former dancer, I've watched him dance. And again, I love Nelly, but I didn't see a lot of potential in his dance. And when I heard that he got 10 tens, three tens.
But you know, this is the exact example of what I say, that they don't compare you to anybody but yourself.
I don't believe in my heart of hearts, even though Cheryl and I worked our asses off, I don't believe it was ever in the cards for me to make it to the finale. I honest to God don't believe that now, especially looking at how things have transpired, and that's fine.
That's because you have my voice in your head.
And it's important, I think, to clarify, you guys aren't being bitter apples about this. I think, if anything, you guys are just being honest. I mean, you've been at this for a while.
I mean, my own father,
Cheryl,
who's very Catholic, okay, is like saying to me, at first it was a conspiracy theory, Cheryl, nobody's against you. He goes, who hates you over there?
That's awesome. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we have a very special guest that I know I'm excited to meet and talk to, as is my boy Renee, because both of us are. Well, I know Cheryl, you as well, but me and Renee are both really, really big golfers.
I know.
So when we come back, we have a very special guest. See you guys shortly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
All right, you guys. So as I promised, we have a very, very special guest on the show tonight, who, again, I know Cheryl is also excited to meet, but I'm going to be honest, not as excited as me and Renee, because both of us are huge golfers to the point that we're going to go play tomorrow. And we have a little game going on with our buddy who we're playing with tomorrow. We told him that our special guest, Miss Paige Spiranak, is going to be playing with us tomorrow at Sherwood, which I know that you're not. He's so excited. He's probably going to dress the best he's ever dressed on a golf course.
Probably went out and bought new outfit, new shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Full on.
Shoes, balls, all of it. The man hasn't bought balls in I don't know how many years. We literally make fun of him because he can find a ball in a bush anywhere on any golf course. His trunk looks like a Roger Dunn. It's insane. But welcome again to the show, Paige Spiranak. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So in case you don't know everybody, yes, this is Cheryl Burke right here. Beautiful,
Hi, nice
beautiful
to meet
Cheryl
you.
Burke, who's an amazing, amazing from... she's from this little show called Dancing with the Stars. It's only been around for a couple days.
Since 1965. I've been there from the beginning.
Oh, no big deal. You need to teach me how to dance because...
Oh, sure. For golf lessons, we have to train.
Perfect. Yeah, I have golf down, but I'm a terrible dancer, so I need all the help I can get.
But if you can golf, you can foxtrot.
I have no rhythm. No rhythm at all. My friends make fun of me. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm dancing.
You were a gymnast, right?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. That helps
so you have flexibility.
A lot. Yes, that helps a lot.
And you look like you have good posture, so you're good.
And how could you say you don't have rhythm? I've seen your swing.
Yeah, I mean, you need rhythm to swing the way you swing. It's a beautiful thing, and it's equally as annoying to watch because I'm sitting there going, "Damn it, what am I doing wrong? Like, why? I don't understand." Even though, you know, I've never really had I just had my first lesson ever in my entire life. I'm 42 years old. Just had my first lesson 6 months ago. It ruined me, as most first lessons do. And then, ironically, a new member at the club that I joined taught me two things, and it's changed my game. Two little simple things. But, So
Renee Paige, Lazzon, what got you into golf? Golf?
Yeah, so I was a competitive gymnast for most of my life, and cool. I ended up fracturing my kneecap twice and also had a bad birthday for the Olympics. So you have to be 16 or turning 16 in the year of the Olympics, and I would have been 18 the first year I would have been able to compete. And that's way past your prime as a gymnast. You are best when you're like 14, 15, 16. So I decided to quit, and I come from a pretty athletic family, and so I pretty much like was dedicating my whole life to gymnastics. So I said, what can I be a professional at? If it's not gymnastics, what can I do? And so my aunt played professional tennis. So I tried tennis first. I hated it. It was not for me. And so my dad was like, hey, let's try golf. I'll take you out. And first golf ball I hit, I fell in love with it. It was everything that I've always wanted. I'm a bit of an introvert, so it's a sport that you can just go and kind of just get away. And it's an individual sport, and I really love that, especially, you know, coming from gymnastics, it was so hard on my body. It was just nice to do something that was just completely different than what I was used to.
Do you know what I find amazing? It's like, people as kids say, I always wanted to be this, or I always wanted to do that. The fact that you said, I want to be professional at a sport, and now I need to find it.
Was that through your family, though? Did they pressure you to doing, in a good way? Because, by the way, I have the same exact story as you, except we also tried golf, hated it, tried tennis, kind of liked it, but didn't love it, and then ballroom. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it was because of my mother, my tiger mom. Of a mother that I love so much. But
my question is, I think it's more rare for somebody to say, I want to be professional at something. Now I need to find the sport. That's pretty amazing. That means you had a lot of drive, right? You had a lot of drive to excel, not at a amateur level. You set the goal. I want to be a professional athlete. That's amazing. How young were you when that drive sort of, you know, was instilled in you, or was it just a thing that you were born with?
I think coming from an athletic family, so my mom was a professional ballet dancer, and my dad was a football player. He played at Pitt in college, and my sister, she was a black belt in taekwondo, and then did crew and also ran track and field at Stanford. And so it was just always one of those things that was a part of my life and a part of my upbringing, was you need to do something with your life. And so it was sports, and they always said, if you stick to sports, then you won't have to get a summer job. And so I think my parents always, they wanted us to be, I think, professional athletes. And Cheryl, kind of what you were saying, I think my parents kind of, no, I wouldn't say push me, but encourage me to be an athlete. And but they never were overbearing, in the sense that once I quit gymnastics, I was 12 at the time, they said, quit, like, you're not happy, and we don't want to see you cry every single day, so quit. And I think most parents in that situation, because I was an elite and at the highest level, I think most parents would have said, suck it up, keep doing it. They're like, let's find something that you love. And I think that's, we all kind of sat down, and that's where we had that conversation of, it's like, what else can I be good at? Because even at 12, my whole identity was being Paige the gymnast. And so I never wanted to lose that. And so I said, okay, I want to find something else that I could be good at. And so it was golf. But, you know, it's still been hard, because I did play professionally for a little bit, but I never reached my goals or what I wanted to do. And so it's hard, because I've since I was basically born, I was like, I want to be a professional athlete. I want to be successful in athletics, and I never reached what I wanted to. And so it's been hard kind of now to come to terms with, like, am I a failure? Am I not a failure? Like, are my parents proud of me? Yeah. Like, what's going on with that? But I'm really lucky to have supportive parents who, no matter what I do, they're always like cheering me on. And I mean, my biggest fans.
The podcast that we have here sort of started because we all thought it'd be interesting to talk about challenges. We're all sober, right? And so we've all crashed and burned. And so we always like to talk about overcoming challenges. That's kind of at the heart of what we do here, you know. And I'd read that you suffered from anxiety attacks and panic attacks. And were you already into sports before those started happening, or did they start happening before sports? Because sports can be a lot of pressure, right? I mean, a lot of pressure. So
yeah, I've always been a very anxious person, and I've always had those issues. Growing up, I had a lot of health issues, and so I didn't really have any hair growing up. I was bald, and I had asthma, so I was always kind of excluded as a kid. And then I was actually homeschooled because, one, because of gymnastics, but two, because I was bullied a lot. And so I've never really felt like I fit in, and I think it has to do with, one, just being more of a driven person and having goals in mind, but also because I am very socially anxious and I have a lot of social anxiety. And it's funny that you guys mentioned that you're all sober. So in college, I felt like because of my social anxiety, I used alcohol as a vice to get through that. And I hated the person that I was. I felt like if I didn't go to college, I would probably be playing on the LPGA tour right now because that kind of derailed my goals and my focus because I've tried so hard to fit in. And since college, I don't drink alcohol anymore. And that's really helped my anxiety and my depression as well. But you know, it's always been something that I've struggled with. I wake up and I go, am I happy? Am I actually like a happy person? And I think I'm always searching for things to make me happy. And I don't know if I found that or if I'll ever find that. And I think that's a kind of a hard realization. And that's,
I think
like
that's
kind
the
of,
athlete, you know, yes. I think it is. Cause it's we ever like, it's never good enough. It's never good enough. It's like, well, I won two seasons. Oh, so can you win every season or how come you haven't won? You know, it's always like, but that's just
it's
our
perfectionism,
like, you could do better. Right?
It is.
Do better.
I mean, look, I've been in my, you know, band for 27 years now. And we, you know, we've been nominated for Grammys 9 times. We've never won. And yet we kind of joke about it to this very day. It's like, so, you know, I say that we're like the Leo DiCaprios of the music business. It took him to be mauled and attacked by a virtual reality bear that wasn't even there for him to get the Oscar that he should have gotten years ago. But
maybe that's what you need to do.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe Backstreet Boys should get mauled by a virtual, I don't know, Chihuahua or something, and we'll finally
get
a Grammy. No, but it's interesting that you talk about the social anxiety thing because, you know, and I've shared this with you, Renee, is that, you know, again, we've been doing this for 27 years. We've been surrounded by, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of people, and I used to thrive off of that, and I still thrive off of the crowd. But over the past 2 or 3 years now, if I'm like leaving a hotel and a lot of people come around me or I feel like I can't get out of a certain scenario, I freak out. I panic. I start to sweat. I get nervous. I literally worked myself up so much to the point where I was having the same reoccurring dream for years that I was on a red carpet event. You know, the velvet ropes broke. Fans and paparazzi swarmed me. Someone stabbed me in my stomach. And there's no way to know who did it. And this was my nightmare for years until, you know, now sober for almost a year. Till I stopped drinking, that definitely helped. But, you know.
But do you think that you started, like for me, I totally started drinking because of the social anxiety. Absolutely. Especially.
Well, mine was social acceptance for me. That was my thing. Mine was social acceptance. I wanted people to like me. I would do whatever I could. Bend over backwards, sideways, diagonal for you to like me. If that means ruining my life for X amount of years, then yeah, that's what I did because that's what I thought was the right thing
to
do.
You didn't do it just to like go and feel more comfortable like in public. That's not what.
No, because I was always comfortable in public. I mean, you put a camera in my face. I'm a natural ham. That's what I've
totally.
Done my whole life.
No, totally. You're great on camera.
But outside of that, not so much.
Do you think that it's worse or better now in the age of social media? Do you feel like it's different. Easier to kind of separate your life and it's like you can connect with people virtually so it's not as hard? Or is it harder because you
I
know
hate
like
social media?
Yeah. Yes. Or is it hard because yes people are constantly attacking you and also people know where you are? Like that's scary for me that's when going great. Somewhere and like you have people just coming up out of nowhere and I have like a fear of someone just surprising me and being
to
alone.
Answer,
like that's scary.
Well, no,
you
to know, answer your question,
you
take yes.
Your location thing off.
Number one, yes. turn off your location services. Two, my wife and I now, it's been almost 3 years that we've been off social media. I have an amazing team that runs my social media. I do not have the apps on my phone. I have taken them off.
So smart.
It is.
That takes some strength, though. That as much as people hate it, do they really want to stop looking at it?
Let me just put it to you this way, literally, and this is TMI, but when I have to use the restroom now, I am in and out in less than a minute. Okay,
because
I'm
not
sitting in there
Instagram.
Scrolling on Instagram looking at garbage.
But AJ, you know what? Getting back to Paige, obviously social media is a part of what you do, right? So to me, the dangers are when you do have the trolls. I've read about the situations with you, right? Like for me, I know that, first of all, the only way you can have trolls is to be successful. So congratulations,
yes,
on
absolutely.
Your success. Okay? Because nobody's trolling whoever's bagging groceries,
yeah,
at Ralph's.
And nobody. The bullies. No. The bullies. The bullies.
Yeah.
I hate bullies.
But you know what? You know what, Paige, is that it comes with the territory, unfortunately, right? Mm-hmm. I swear to God, you guys, you can upload baby bunnies to YouTube and you'll have people saying, baby bunnies are stupid. Baby, you know what I mean? That it's just part of,
but it's given
comes
them an outlet. So, I mean, before that, so, it was message boards.
Yeah. So my question to you, Paige, is how much of that do you feel the need to read, and how much does it affect you? Or are you able at this stage to let it be, you know, roll off your back?
So my job now is basically, I mean, I hate this title, but it's social media influencer. So everything that I do is through social media. So I don't have the luxury of having someone else run my accounts. And I feel that I've been able to build this community because I am so hands-on. And so I run everything myself. I'm responding back to everyone. Mm. I'm reading every single message.
Impressive.
And thank you. But at first it was really hard because I didn't have thick skin at all, and I'm a people pleaser, and so someone would leave a nasty message and then it would ruin my day. And I think doing this for now almost 5 years, you just kind of have to adapt. And I'm
so
a completely different person, a completely different person than I was 5 years ago.
How did you do that?
I think just realizing that the people who are leaving the nasty messages are going through a lot of shit.
Good for you. That's great.
Insecure, yeah.
They're the most insecure. And any time that I would respond back to someone who said something negative, they would apologize. They'd say, I'm your biggest fan. Thank you so much. I'm going through all this hard, you know, whatever it may be. And it just made me realize, like, they need me more than anyone else right now. And so I've kind of tried to switch it around to be a positive out to them and help them. But I also just use a lot of humor to deflect the hate. And so I just like to laugh it off. I make jokes all the time now. And I make fun of myself. And we kind of do it together. And I just try not to take it personally. Because, again, it's like my family knows me. My friends know me. And that's all that matters. And I always say, too, that who I am on social media, it's a persona. It's not who I am. And so I want the hate. I want the engagement. I want people to talk about what I'm posting, especially in golf, because it's such a conservative sport and it's a male-dominant sport. And so I try to push the boundaries. I try to put content out there that makes people uncomfortable because golf is so stuffy and it needs to progress. And so I bring it on myself, and I think I'm aware of that now. Before I wasn't. And so when I get that hate, I'm like, bring it on. Like, come at me, because I think I can handle it now. So it's been a journey.
Yeah.
It's been a really long journey.
I know. I was telling a friend of mine today that, like, I put you and Michelle Wee, like, side by side, because literally out of all the women that are professional that have actually, you know, shooken up the pot, it's been you and it's been Michelle. Obviously, Michelle took a break for a little while because she was, you know, 17 years old. She was Googling eyes at boys, and her dad was like, no, it's golf, golf, golf. Boys are not, you know, a thing. But, you know, you obviously have I love your approach to dealing with all of that. That is something that a lot of people should attempt to attack it that way. I also want to just put this out there in the back of your mind, and I know Cheryl can back me up on this. We have a friend who is a TV talk show host. Her name is Jeannie Mai, and she basically has found a way to
change the algorithm,
change the algorithms on her social media so that only the things that come in.
But you can't stop trolls from commenting, obviously.
Trolls, well, you can't stop, but she can make it where it's like, look, I only want to put out positivity.
On her
I only
feed.
Want to
yeah,
put
yeah,
out
yeah.
love on her feed.
Yeah.
So you can actually manipulate that if you wanted to where mm-hmm. you can be like, look, I'm not trying to get into a freaking heated battle with Joe Schmo on freaking Instagram. But
you know what, AJ? I was going to say that I'm so impressed with the fact that you're able to separate the two. I think that when people, actors, singers, whatever it is, when they start identifying themselves as just that, and then you get a troll, then it's like, well, I must be terrible. But the fact that you're able to say, look, this is a persona, and people can have their say, whatever, you know, but you're able to have your private life, I think that's the only way to maintain your sanity, to be honest
yeah.
with you.
I mean,
I'm really
I just
impressed.
Don't look at it. I can't look at it.
Well,
she said she's
actually hands on doing everything, you right? Mm. So
totally.
You
that's
either
just,
at that
strength.
Point strength and being able to separate the two. You know, mm-hmm. I also wanted to say that golf needs you. That's how I feel. Okay, golf,
I agree.
Tiger Woods came along and, you know, opened it up to a lot of people. Like, for you, your look, your image, golf needs that. Honest to God, golf needs it. I think you're helping golf. You're bringing people into the sport that wouldn't care otherwise.
Especially women.
Yes. Especially women and especially a lot of guys, I'll be honest with you. A lot of guys. Yeah. It brings in a lot of guys. And I think that for you to continue to do what you're doing is a service to golf. Like today, it came up in my news feed that you made fun of the shaft thing, right?
Yeah,
that
was amazing.
To me, I love the irreverence of that. I love the fact that you're bringing that to what used to be this stuffy, platty mm-hmm. kind of thing, right? So I just want to say...
Oh, DeChambeau. Oh, DeChambeau.
It's funny. You mentioned that tweet, and, you know,
I don't get it. What do you guys say?
Okay. Go ahead. Bring up...
Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So there's a golfer named Bryson DeChambeau, and he's quite controversial in the golf space because he does things a bit different. And most guys play a 45-inch shaft, and that's what connects into the head and... That's just what everyone does. And so he was trying to play a 48-inch shaft and it didn't work out. And so I made a joke that because he didn't play well in the Masters, which is the biggest tournament in golf of the year. And okay. I said, it doesn't matter how long your shaft is, it's how you use it.
Which is
Amen,
awesome.
Sister.
Exactly.
It's so
and it, but it's funny because I got a lot of hate for that tweet from guys. And it's really, it's interesting because they're like, if I said this, people would say it's sexist. And if I did this, and I'm like, do you not
but
understand you what, like what I said? And it's funny because on the golf course, since I was 12, I have heard a joke like that every single time I'm out there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just because a woman said it, they get so offended by it.
You're right. I'm so sorry.
The guys, let's be honest, the guys with the short shafts got bothered.
Yeah, that's who really got bothered.
But that was
the guys...
crazy because I was saying, hey, guys, don't worry about that. Like,
you can't use your putter to tee off.
But you're saying it's because it's a woman saying it.
Exactly. And that's great.
And by
the
way, in a lot of workplaces, you know, it's not just, that's the problem.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is that golf needs that kind of humor.
Absolutely.
This world
needs it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It needs a little extra spark in the sport because you're right. Do you have a lot of new young guys coming in? You got the Bubbas. You got these guys that are coming in that are freaks of nature that are driving 400-yard average drives.
Yeah.
That is just obnoxiously annoying. But at the same time, you know, okay, great. What's the big whoop? Okay, so you can win a couple tournaments. Great, that's fine. I'm not discrediting them at all as athletes, but someone like you coming in and basically shaking shit up, because not only are you a strong woman, you're a businesswoman, you're a ridiculous golfer, you're beautiful, you have a good head on your shoulders, and you have found a way to encourage women out there against bullying, against all these things
and these stigmas
that come especially in the world of women. I mean, it's just freaking disgusting.
Doing a man's sport, you know, like
still today that stigma, it just freaking disgusts me. It makes no damn sense.
AJ, what's the line wardrobe you wear on the golf course?
Oh, G4. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's my jam.
Right, G4 is shaking it up, right? They're coming with skulls, and they're coming with this just irreverence towards golf, and people are loving it. That's my whole point with you. I think people will look back at golf during this time and say you were spearheading changing the face of golf, right? Not just guys and not just, you know, I don't know. It's just getting back to the fact that you have such a great personality. You're a very attractive young lady, and golf needs that. I have to say, golf needs it.
Well, it's true. I mean,
thank you. I mean, that's very kind of you to say. But no, and I think when we were talking about the hate that I get, I now know that I'm going to get hate for whatever I put out there because I am a woman in a male-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. And I look at my counterparts, and they get praised for doing the same exact thing I do, and I get shunned for it. And it's disgusting. I mean, the reason I started my podcast was because I got fired from a job for making a sexual innuendo in a post that had nothing to do with my partner that I was working with at the time. And I looked over, and people at that company were making similar jokes as I was making that I made, and they didn't get fired. And
yeah,
they
it's a double
standard. Telling us what happened.
So I was talking, I made a funny video about the male ego, and it was very similar to the tweet that I put out. And I ended up getting a call from one of the companies that I was working with, and they said, "This doesn't align with our brand, and you're fired." Wow. And
such a double standard. You're 100%
right. And it wasn't even
that
bad. It was PG. And then other writers who worked for that company were making like worse jokes,
totally.
But because they're guys. And so I just realized that I have to be strong.
And you're an advocate now. Like you have to this is a problem, you guys, still happening.
Yeah.
It is.
Under the table maybe, or is hush hush. But really, if you've just put a little bit of attention to it, it's pretty bad.
And it's also unsettling to me that it is such an overly PC world we live in now, where like you can't fart in the wind and it not make
you just can't
national
have an opinion
news
as a woman.
Yes,
no. If you have an opinion as a woman, that you better be ready for the backlash.
It's
and
a
I
double
believe
standard.
You guys, I've experienced it myself. It's just the way it is, you know.
Well, hallelujah that we got ourselves a female vice president about to take that stand. Hallelujah
Absolutely.
To that. Thank God.
But you even look at the comments that she gets. Like,
oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
Steps
oh, God.
Her way to the top. You know how many times people have said, "How many blowjobs have you given to get to where you are? Or you slept
I'm sure.
The top,
or like
or-
just posting on Instagram, people get mad at you.
Jealousy.
I mean, I'll wear a Lululemon tank top that, you know, you see millions of other women wearing at the gym, doing groceries, and because I'm wearing it at a golf course, people are like, should I give you $1 bills? You look like a stripper, or
Wait,
you look
what?
Like a porn star. And I'm like, I
Why,
am
what's
wearing
wrong with Lululemon.
That's
no,
the,
no,
that's
she's just
that's
saying,
what's wrong
she...
with golf, because they oh. see everything. It's like, that is so outrageous to them that a woman would be wearing a tank top or showing a little bit of cleavage. Like, that is the worst thing you could possibly doing. They see you as being a stripper.
Yeah. Well,
so
Cheryl, just so you know, back in the day, and they still say this, which is absolute bullshit, but back in the day, like the old school guys, the old school golfer cats used to say golf stood for gentlemen only, ladies
bullshit.
Forbidden. Which is... bullshit.
And then
next thing you know, there's the LPGA. So it's like, okay. But then remember back in the day, there was a big shakeup when Vijay Singh and these guys were not going to play in the Masters because a female was going to play in the Masters. And it was a whole big stink back in the day. Who was that? Or it was a PGA tournament. I don't know if it was a Masters.
It was a PGA tournament, and Annika Sorenstam got a special invite to play in the tournament, and the guys didn't want to even participate in it. The things that they were saying
bullshit.
To her was unbelievable. But, there's still men-only golf courses.
That's
there's
crazy.
Oh, yeah.
There's
there
courses that I can't even go to, or I can go to only at, like, Thursday after 2 p.m., and when I'm there, it's
I'm shocked,
cart girl. Oh, it is like
especially
the 1950s.
In golf.
It is insane.
Yeah.
So
no,
I guess if there's like a movement where every man needs to
no,
stop.
No, but there's
playing
yeah,
golf
there's also
changes.
Courses. There's also courses that still won't let African Americans play. Yeah. There's still courses that like it's
so
like
what's
the old,
problem? Why aren't you guys fighting?
But Cheryl, here's the thing, right? It's been by
true.
Design, Cheryl. The thing is, the whole, machismo stuff has it's by design. You know, you go back to Eisenhower era, 1950s, right? When they were opening up the Smithsonian Institute, they were taking a walk through the Smithsonian Institute, and the African diorama, it showed the female sitting with the cubs and the male lion coming home with the kill. And the lady said, that was walking with the tour, said, that's wrong. It's the female that goes out and kills. The male stays back with the cubs. And they looked at her and they said, what kind of message would we be sending to our kids? And they left it like that till like the 1970s. Hmm. So it's by design to keep women, oppressing women, making them feel like, you know, think about every club now, AJ, you have go into the men's locker room and then go into the women's locker room.
It's a shack compared to the men's.
It's a shack compared to the men's.
So it bad.
Is. It yeah. is.
Well, and here's the problem. So most people who like golf are wealthy, old, white men. That's yeah. how it is. Yeah. And it's always been like that. And so there's this big campaign to grow the game of golf. And it's never successful because the people at the top who run everything, they don't actually want to grow the game of golf. This is their sanctuary. This is where they yes. can get away. This is where they boys can
right.
be boys. This is that's where the golf course is. And so yeah. they don't want to bring new people in. They don't want to socialize with people who are unfamiliar to them. Like, that's how golf is. And so it's going to take so
how do you
much.
Change it?
I think being outspoken, and it's mm-hmm. hard because if you are outspoken, I have been blacklisted from working with organizations. I mean, I have wanted to donate clubs to a charity, a golf charity for kids, and they didn't want me to help them out because of my image. Or there's things that I haven't been able to participate in because of how people view me. And so once you are brave enough to speak out, they don't want you a part of it anymore. So it's really hard. It's like, do I ruin my entire 22. Career if by saying something, or do I just go along with it? Can I make more change if I'm kind of it? You can only make change when you are sitting at the table. So how do you get to the table, and what do you do to get there? And so it's always this really, it's hard for me because I sometimes will go along with something that maybe I don't fully agree with, or totally. I'll say something that I just have to laugh and smile my way through it. And
do you have other women behind you like that are
no. So that's the problem. I think because golf is such a male dominated sport that the few women who are in there and are successful, they are fighting they're fighting to keep their position. And I've had a very unique way of branding myself in golf, and a lot of women don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm fighting the women and I'm fighting the men. So it's
I
hard.
I think you're fighting the right fight, honestly. If I were a golfer, I'd be right there with you.
Look, yep, and I support it 100%.
And to me, the fact that you're on here talking about these things, right? We could have just kept this all light about golf and this. But the fact that you're willing to talk about it, that's how things change. Yes, never fast enough. And yes, it's incremental.
One podcast at a time.
Yeah, you know.
Amen.
But, you know, I was going to say, speaking of golf and humor, there's a little story I want to tell about AJ. I think you'll find this funny, Paige. He won't. He would definitely not
Which
find
one?
It funny.
Oh, God.
So, now, again, I'll preface it by saying in golf, when you're playing a good round and then suddenly you hit a really bad shot, weird things come out of your mouth, right? So like
what?
When you get really
like hole in one.
No. Yeah.
That's fine.
So
that's not weird.
On a separate note, right? AJ and I always talk about how funny it is when you see commercials about golf living, live on the golf course. It's so tranquil. It's so this, but when you're on the golf course, when you live on the golf course, all you hear is, So in the spirit of weird things come out of your mouth, right? And it was a long time ago. It was like 15 years ago, AJ. Well, he hits it into the woods, right? And he literally doesn't have a shot at the pin. Zero. Like, it's all trees. And I said, look, you're just going to have to take your medicine and just knock it back into the fairway. And he looks at me and he says, I think I got a shot. And I said, bro. I said, trust me.
Famous last words.
Yeah,
I think
I got
a shot.
And so he lines up and I'm like, I can't believe he's going to try to go at the pin. There's no shot, virtually no shot. And he hits it. It smacks the tree, comes straight, a bunch of trees come straight down. And he goes, man, I can't catch a break. And I said, bro, you're working against the laws of physics right now. And he looks at me and he goes, bro, physics has nothing to do with golf.
That was one of the best ones. Thankfully, today I don't spend that much time in the woods these days. Thank God.
No, they're either on hardwood or
no. Yes. So, Paige, I just have to ask.
Yes.
What is your handicap currently?
So I don't really keep it anymore. So last time I checked, I was a plus +3. But I just tell people scratch.
Okay, this podcast is over. No.
Because
no.
The handicap's confusing, and so if you say plus, people get confused with that. So okay, I'm a scratch golfer now.
Okay, that sounds amazing. I have no idea what that is.
But yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's explain it to Cheryl.
It's so good, Cheryl. You have no idea. It's so good.
Okay. Yeah.
So the handicap system's pretty weird, and so par for the course is 72.
Handicap? That's kind of like, is that like a, what does that mean, though?
So I'll try to explain it as quick as possible. Okay. Par for the course, there's 18 holes and it's 72. So you should take 72 shots around the golf course. Okay. And so if you're a scratch golfer, that means you're even. So you're shooting around 72. Okay. So I am a plus +3. So that means I shoot 3 under. So I'll be shooting in the 60s.
Oh, so your average is lower.
Lower.
Okay,
and
but
then
let's...
for like a normal handicap, so the average handicap is like a 30 handicap or even higher. So that's 30 over the par.
So you don't want to be handicapped.
No, you don't want to be over. Everyone has a handicap, though.
That sounds so wrong.
Okay, but Cheryl, here, to put it this way, most people never even dream of shooting par, okay, on a golf course.
That's like a hole-in-one.
Now, I'm being honest with you. Not hole-in-one.
What the hell's a hole-in-one?
It's exactly what it is. It's a hole-in-one.
What's par?
Par is, let's say that you're on a par +4. You have to get the ball in 4 strokes. That's
Says
a par.
Who?
Says the golf course.
The course. The course.
The course, yeah.
That needs a change. I'm
But Cheryl, I really want you to understand
you.
This.
Sorry.
I really want you to understand this. Golf, first, let's start with one thing. Golf is the most humbling sport there is, bar none. I'm telling you. I've always said when I see people that are super arrogant in life, I'd say I'd love to see them play around the golf so they could be humbled by the sport, right? So, but here's the thing. There's a lot of people that love it, but most people aren't good golfers, okay? So your handicap just means what do you average at a golf course, an average, right? And the reason they have them is so that if AJ and I were to play for money, right, I have to tell him, well, this is what I play to make it even, right? Mm-hmm. So, but to get down to, let's say, a 10 handicap, that's really, really good, okay? And then it gets exponentially harder to go from a 10 handicap to a 9 handicap.
Okay.
And each time gets so difficult to drop one down, so difficult. Where she's at, there's not very many people.
It's another world that we're not part of.
Did you have coaches?
Yeah, so I had a coach as soon as I started, so when I was 13.
Okay.
I practiced,
eight hours
a day, 7 days a week.
That's why, you guys, hello.
it was my whole life, and I played like junior golf, I played in college, and then I played the year professionally, but it was a job the entire time, and so now it's weird to like play for fun. It's still hard for me to go out there and enjoy a round of golf because if I hit a bad shot, I want to go and practice and get
back
to that level.
That's like salsa dancing. Like, that's the last thing I want to do is go out salsa dancing.
Exactly. It's like, that's what you do every single day. It's I'm sure people ask you all the time, like, let's go
dance.
Dance,
monkey, dance. I'm like, no, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, I just have to ask. So, first of all, where do you call home? Are you in California?
I'm in Arizona. So Arizona's home. Yes.
Nice golf mecca over there.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, I just want to say just so I can experience getting my butt kicked by someone as amazing as you. Whenever you're back in LA, I would love to have you come out with me and Renee on the golf course. Cheryl, you should come too. Even if
I'm driving the golf cart.
Yeah, Cheryl, you have to be there. I need some women too.
I will totally be your cheerleader, girl.
You can love no, it. But you're not driving my cart. It goes
yes,
too
I
fast.
Am.
And
yes,
I've
I
seen
am.
The way you drive.
No, it doesn't matter. That's the only way I'm coming. So.
Oh my God.
I do it. Have a question though. Who's your favorite golfer, Paige?
I would say the person who gets me the most excited about golf is yeah. Tiger Woods. I mean,
okay.
anytime
me
that
too.
He plays, he moves the – he doesn't move the needle. He is the needle. Without him well being said. In golf, yeah. I don't know if I would be playing. I mean, the prize money would be exponentially lower. I mean, he has done so much for golf. And take away his personal problems yes. and what you think of yeah. him – he is incredible. He has done so much for the game of golf, and I think golf has mistreated him, and we owe him everything.
I'm
literally
with you.
Everything.
I'm with you 100%. And Cheryl, who's your favorite golfer besides Paige?
Okay, let me tell you. This is as close to golf as I'm going to get. You know that PGA golf tour? Yo, man, I was really good at that shit. That video game?
Video.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was killing it. I don't know what his name is, but I was Tiger once in a while. Then I was the guy with the beer belly, the white guy.
John Daly.
Oh, John Daly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No.
He's a crowd favorite.
He is definitely a crowd favorite. I would say Tiger, too, but also
I only like Tiger. Charles, he's half Filipino like me.
Charles Howell. Charles Howell is a really good friend, and he's such a sweetheart. So,
he's a really good guy. Yeah,
he's
nice.
You know, it's funny. He actually grew up out on Augusta. And sadly, because of the state of the world right now, Renee and I were actually set to go play Augusta after the Masters.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
Yeah, you're not getting me on a flight anytime soon. So it's nice to know that is still an option when things settle down because,
Have you played Augusta, Paige?
I have never played Augusta. So you guys are going to have to tell me how amazing it is. No, I mean, a couple of my friends have played and they say it's the most incredible place in the world.
It's a religious experience.
Have you played Cypress out in Monterey? Oh,
yeah. So I was lucky enough to play it.
And you're speaking Chinese.
In January. Cheryl, you could walk on these golf courses and just walk it and have an amazing experience. They are so unbelievably gorgeous. Cypress is right along the water and it is so beautiful. On the last couple holes, the back nine is their the signature holes, and mm-hmm. you like everyone in our group almost started crying because it was just beautiful.
She's
like,
not exaggerating. It is.
Yeah, like it's and they say it too. They're like, oh, when you go to Cypress,
but why?
And you play. Because it's just so beautiful. And it's just, I think when, with golf, there are certain golf courses that are just magical. And mm-hmm. there's so, it's hard because what I love about golf is also what I hate about golf.
Totally.
Is the tradition. And that's what makes golf so special, that these courses mm-hmm. have been around for so long.
There's history.
There's so much history there.
St. Andrews.
When you, exactly. So when you step on these golf courses, you're like, the best golfers in the world have
totally.
Played this golf course. They have experienced the same thing I'm experiencing. Totally. They have walked on the same grass that I'm walking on, and that's what makes it so special.
And I love how you said it's the same thing that you love about it as what you hate about it. Because let's say, for example, Cheryl up there, the one we were just talking about, right?
Cypress.
It's the exclusivity there is bonkers, okay? Bob Hope. You might be too young. Both
I know Bob.
Everyone here.
International
okay,
Airport.
Good. Okay, so Bob Hope
not the same thing. But yeah.
Shut up.
He tried to get into Cyprus 11 times and he got turned down. I think they finally let him in. And Bob Hope was the ambassador to golf during his day. So when you finally get on a course like this, who by the way is the same architect that from Augusta National
and
Masters,
the Valley Club that
and the
we
Valley
just played.
Club which we played recently. There's something to be said when, like you guys were saying, it's like, oh my God, I'm on. Like, I never thought I'd get out on Cyprus. You know, I thought maybe I could get out, but I'd have to, like, be carrying everyone's bag
some
or
brass.
Something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Take some Bermuda, take some Cucuya. Like, for me, it's like the equivalent to when we were in Liverpool years ago on tour.
Cool.
We went into this, like, bar tavern thing, and it was literally where the Beatles had their first ever performance.
Okay.
with their previous drummer before Ringo. They signed this, the roof of this like tavern, and so it's become like a landmark. And the people that own it now let me and Howie and Nick sign it, and it's just the coolest thing that we're up there next to the Beatles with our name. And it's like you walk in and you could just feel this presence. And it's the same thing when you step on a golf course, whether you've played it before or not, you walk out there and you're like, dude, so-and-so was just here last week. He made a par. Can I do better? And then I triple bogey and I'm like, damn it. But yeah, I just want to say that's one last thing to you, Paige. I would love to, in any way, shape or form, figure out a way to maybe, get our minds together on a social media end of things to really push this movement that you are trying to push. Because look, at the end of the day, I have majority female fans, but
he's got some army fans though. And they're
diehard and loyal. And I also do, I think out of all my boys, probably have the most male fans as well. And I know, and I do know quite a few people that are golfers and that are golfer, you know, fans of golf. So I would love to outside of here, talk to you and you know, find a way to put our heads together and really push this through.
I am pro Paige. Like, I got you, girl.
So Paige, when you start getting new followers that say BSB forever, BSB,
Argentina,
you know,
Argentina, yeah, Argentina, Spain, Colombia, Barcelona. Spain.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. You'll know why.
I love that. I mean, golf has been such a big part of my life, and it's so important. I think people who have gone through hard times, golf is such a great way to, it's an escape. And I think a lot of people need to just pick it up. It's great to get your frustration out. I mean, you're whacking golf balls.
Totally.
It's a way to be alone. I mean, nothing is better than walking a late nine holes by yourself and just being alone.
Agreed.
And
it's like going to the movies by yourself. It's kind of a nice little experience.
It is. And I just wish more people could experience that. And I think yes, it's hard to pick up, but I think people just have this perception of what golf is, and they're scared to step on a golf course because they don't think it's welcoming or they think that it's expensive, but it's really not. I mean, anyone can play.
Or they're
anyone
impatient.
Can get out there. Yeah. Or, I mean, there's just, it is expensive, and there's really no place that people can get lessons. And so I'm trying to think of something I can do where I give clinics or do a lot of instruction on YouTube that's free. And so I try to
absolutely.
I have it the series
all of it
being basic with Paige, where I show the basics of golf and just really simplify it, because I think, again, golf is just so overly complicated, and I'm just trying to strip it down because I want more people. Like, Cheryl, I would love more than anything.
I have to try this again because, like, my stepdad and my mom, like,
you should do it, babe.
Like, I can't. I will definitely. Okay, I will definitely take one of your YouTube courses.
I will be your personal instructor. Like, I
can
want
we just start
to
at the miniature
there.
Golf place though? Can we just do miniature golf?
Yeah,
I'm
we
telling
can go
you.
Anywhere.
Paige, where Paige, you're awesome. Seriously, like I. Newfound respect, honestly, and thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you?
So it's Paige Renee on Instagram and Paige Spranick on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and I was for
and TikTok, your podcast
TikTok, and then
TikTok?
I have
that's hysterical.
I feel like I'm so old now that I can't even remember all the new social medias going on. And then my podcast is called Playing Around, and
that's
you
awesome.
Can find that anywhere that you listen to your podcasts.
That's so cool.
Yes, Paige, thank you so much. And as I say, and as it's been said to me on the course, and I'm sure that you know, just tee it high and let it fly, girl. So continue on the path that you're on, because it's such a great thing that you're doing.
Don't give up.
We're definitely fans.
I do hope to go head to head with you someday. I think it'd be amazing experience. I honest to God do. So
you know what? Honestly, that makes it sound like it would be close, AJ. Head to head. It's not going
to
be head
to
head.
Don't be nice
to
him.
Well, that's
I guarantee
what handicap's up for.
Exactly.
That's
I'm a 12,
what
so
up
you're
up,
already
yeah.
doing just fine. You're doing just fine. But
well,
thank you
12,
so much,
yeah,
girl.
12-ish.
I would love to go play with you. And again, thanks for having me
I'll
on.
I'll be your student for life.
Yes, and Cheryl, like, I'm going to teach you. You teach me how to dance.
Please
I'll teach
do.
You how to salsa
please
on
do.
The golf course. We got this.
Definitely.
Okay.
We're fans, Paige.
You're going to love it, Cheryl. I
You're awesome. I probably will. I'll probably get all obsessed and stuff. So
you will.
Get ready, Paige.
You will.
That one good shot makes you want to come back
Seriously,
for more.
I'm going to be like always that one. That's going to be my new career because I got to, these hips don't lie, you know? Thank you, Paige. You're awesome.
Thank you so much, Paige.
Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You so much.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So, first of all, I want to thank Paige. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, she's amazing.
You are amazing. Everyone, so please, please go keep up with all of her information and these this amazing movement that she is trying
her podcast.
To do.
You
yes,
guys, she's
please.
It's like David and Goliath. She's trying to take on it, the establishment.
Yeah,
you know?
And good for her because
hats off to her.
Because it happens everywhere. I mean,
got to get a lot more
awesome.
Ladies in golf, man. We got to get a lot more ladies in golf. So, we are going to read an email that came in from a young lady named Lindsay. She says, "Unfortunately, the disease of addiction has taken the lives of some people close to me, a best friend and a brother. I have two young children around the same age as AJ's daughters. My question for you, AJ, Renee, and Cheryl, is how do you plan on keeping the disease of addiction away from your children's lives?"
I can, if you want, I can tell you since I have a 9-year-old. Having been to a lot of rehabs, the one common denominator with anyone who's ever gotten addicted to drugs is this feeling of not being good enough, okay? So when you grow up feeling not good enough without self-esteem and then you try it, it's a whole different experience because suddenly you are escaping that pain that comes with feeling you're not good enough. So what we do with our daughter is we always treat her with respect, right? We never say anything derogatory towards her the way I grew up, right? When parents get angry, they're having a rough day and they're like, oh, you're being such an idiot or you're stupid or stuff mm-hmm. like that. So we treat her with respect. She treats us with respect. We don't yell at her. We could talk to her sternly, right? But we never attack her intellect. We never make her feel
That's
like
great.
Less than. And I believe that that will give the best defense against possibly going down that road. There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees, okay? But if our kids grow up feeling good enough with self-esteem mm-hmm. because you treat them like human beings, not like, you know, less than, I think that, in my humble opinion, non-professional opinion, that's the best defense, not just towards drug addiction, but towards hooking up with the wrong guys. If she's a girl, you know, when they respect themselves, they won't feel such a liberty or such a freedom when they try this, you know, whatever the drug or drink is. That's just my opinion.
That's great.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, everything stems from the household. That's, you know, everything starts with mom, with dad. You know, I was fortunate enough to be raised by very loving parents, very, very, you know, caring parents that never put, like, you know, there was no fighting, there was no arguments, there was no drinking, there was no craziness going on for me to, like, see this and turn out the way I turned out. This is the path that was chosen for me. This is the path that I took. But I would love to, if I stay on the path that I'm on now and I do what you, like the same thing you said, Renee, treat my kids with the respect that they should be treated with and kind of let them, you know, it's got to be a give and take thing. Like, you know, if you say no to everything, what are they going to do? They're going to turn around and you know, do the opposite. You kind of got to give and take a little bit. That's just my personal opinion. And they will then hopefully make that decision and go, you know what? Dad's letting me go out again with my friends tonight. Maybe I'll come home a little sooner, or maybe I won't do something bad or hang out with the wrong people because I don't want to lose my parents' respect.
I think it's also open communication. Like, I wish my mom talked to me about sex ed. Like, I just had to find out through my older friends, which I had through the ballroom industry,
about everything
when it has to do with sex and my period and everything you can possibly think of that may be uncomfortable to talk about, especially coming from an Asian culture. This is something you just don't talk about, which is then what led me to experimentation and wanting to experiment and try certain things because I had no clue what was... I mean, I was like, okay, if you're doing it, you know, it was the people I was hanging out with, and it was people, adults, when I was like 13.
And, you know, I want to clarify that you could treat your kids with respect, right? And they could still turn out to be addicted to something. Like with you, AJ, you grew up with loving, you know, mom.
That's my point. But then
all of a sudden, you're thrust at a very young age into this.
Did your parents not drink at all? They weren't alcoholics or addicts?
My uncle is an alcoholic, and he's sober as far as I know. I haven't spoken to him.
But my point
is
that you were then at a very young age thrust into this crazy world of entertainment.
Right. I mean, but
right?
That's,
and all the
that's
pressures
such a rarity,
that come
I
with
mean,
it.
Yeah.
So, and just my opinion is you as a young kid, people are screaming your name. You didn't have to develop self-esteem, right? Because everyone's loving you and applauding, and
right.
This
but
happens
I had
with,
zero self-esteem during that entire process.
That's right, because self-esteem and adulation are two different things.
Yeah, it's
right?
Renee,
it's called self-esteem.
So what Lindsay's asking in this email, it's the disease of addiction, right? So do you believe in that? You believe in the disease of addiction?
So it's a constant debate, right? Nature versus nurture. It's a constant debate, right? Is it the way we were brought up? Were you born with the addictive gene? Nobody knows for sure.
Okay.
So she was asking, what can we do to protect our kids from going down that path? And what I'm saying is, I've been in rehab with people that came from a place where both the parents were loving and respectful, and somehow the path took them a certain way.
Right.
But if she's asking, like, what can we do to kind of help them avoid going down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion is most of the people I was in rehab with had the common denominator of growing up feeling not good enough. Now, oddly enough, I would be in rehab with very wealthy people, offspring of very wealthy parents. And once you hear their story, they're like, well, were you lacking anything? No, I wasn't. It's like, but the problem was, on my birthday, I'd get a brand new Mercedes Benz while my parents were skiing in the Swiss Alps, right? And so that sounds like, wow, your parents gave you a Mercedes Benz. That's awesome. What are you crying about? It's like they weren't looking for Mercedes Benz. They wanted
love and affection.
They wanted love. Yeah. They wanted attention. Presence, they wanted to feel that their birthday was more important than skiing in the Swiss Alps. Mm-hmm. So this leaves traumas with people, and the ones that go down the path and are fortunate enough to go to rehab, you start to connect these dots that you're even unaware of. It's like, mm-hmm. but you know, therapists are good at like uncovering, and you start to get down to these memories where you go, wow, you know, I guess I was really traumatized as a kid, even though I drove a Mercedes, even though I wore the best clothes, even though, you know, my parents always gave me the things, mm-hmm. but they didn't give them the love and respect that says, you know what, we don't need to go to the Swiss Alps to ski. Mm-hmm. You're our son, you're our daughter. We would rather stay home and be with you and look at you in the eyes and make you feel special.
Sometimes less
would
is
you
more,
want
man.
Your guys would you want your kids, let's say, to experience therapy before, like, to be able to talk openly about it with somebody who may not be a parent or a relative, just to give them insight early on as to, you know, the signs of addiction?
So here's the thing. Most people, in my opinion, are ill-equipped to parent, okay? Mm-hmm. Most people, their only toolbox they have to parent is exactly what their parents did to them or mm-hmm. for them, okay? Mm-hmm. And so would I suggest someone go to therapy if they're not having trouble in life? I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think
life coach or a mentor.
Well, I think a family unit, I think parents, there's a lot of parents that could use some guidance on mm-hmm. what to say, what not to say to kids. Yeah. You know, I know someone that would say to their kids,
like a mediator.
I know someone that would say to their kids, oh, I could kill you. You're so stupid. And it's like, she doesn't mean it. But the kids, when you're a kid, you don't process stuff as a kid.
Difference.
Yeah, you don't sit there and go, oh, my mom's having a hard day and she's probably being affected by her parents.
You think it's your fault. You actually think it's your fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like we you know, over here, we try to really bite our tongue with like certain terminology and like certain wording because, you know, I have two girls. Not that it would make a difference if I had two boys, but, you know, we don't talk about weight. We don't talk about appearances. We don't talk about those types of things because, you know, kids are sponges.
That's really good.
And like I shared with you guys, or I mentioned it to you, Cheryl, when we were on Caitlin's podcast, talking about, you know, I was on a diet for the first couple of months before we you know, started doing Dancing with the Stars. And my oldest daughter is like, oh, dad, mm-hmm. you know, I'm on a diet now. And I'm like, no. You're seven. You're
but
not
going to
be on a diet.
But do you think you should talk about it?
Well, and we do talk about it. And mm-hmm. I explained to her, I said, look, this is why daddy is doing what he's doing. I'm mm-hmm. not going to be on this diet for the rest of my life. Daddy's trying to be healthier and happier as a person because daddy's been eating fast food and crap for God mm-hmm. knows how long. Daddy wants to be in good physical, you know, shape so I can keep up with you and your sister mm-hmm. and hopefully, God willing, live long enough to walk you and your sister down the aisle. If daddy stayed on the path he was on, that probably wouldn't happen. So, you know, you just
so,
gotta
you know, it, getting back to the question there is parents lots of times allow themselves to get really angry and then they take it out on their kid. Right. I'm sure all of us here have been like, you know, affected by that sort of thing. And I think that another thing that I was taught as a parent is it's okay to tell a kid, look, that's not right, without making them feel like you're not right. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you mm-hmm. made a mistake. You're not a mistake. Like we mm-hmm. say that, right? Like if I do have to discipline Elin, I take the extra time to say, look, I love you so much. okay? And you shouldn't do that because A, B, and C. But always get back to I love you, because that's how they grow up feeling lovable.
Right. But Renee, that is so rare nowadays. Like, I feel like every parent needs a crash course on how.
I agree with you.
100%. That's why I asked about the therapy and the media. Yeah. It doesn't have to be therapy. It could be just a person guidance. Who's not connected. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
guidance. Yeah. We were at Disneyland one time, and, you know, I watched this lady was really mistreating this poor kid, and they're at Disneyland, right? And I was thinking, a lot of people, in order to afford going to Disneyland, they have to save their money, right? And then they're already under stress because it costs this much to get in, and then it costs this much to eat, and then the kids want Mickey
slushies,
and all, it keeps adding up. And I think that because a lot of people don't, and this is just my opinion, and some people might not like it, but a lot of people don't pray. A lot of people don't meditate. A lot of people don't do things to get centered. Mm-hmm. And then they go to Disneyland. They're afraid that maybe they can't afford it, and they take it out on the kid. And I felt like that sucks. They're in the happiest place on earth, and she's grabbing this kid by the arm. Yeah, you know, it is that parents have to learn to come down off of that constant sort of
have to love themselves pressure. First.
Exactly, which sounds
the
easy.
Hard
yeah,
and they got to get off, and they got to get off the high horse
and take responsibility over your own actions. Yeah, I mean, that's
absolutely.
And it sounds easy to love yourself, but that's a long process.
Yeah, it's a lifelong
well,
process.
Self forgiveness, you guys. Not to get into a whole deep conversation, but at the end of the day, if I hadn't been able to forgive myself for the things I'd done, I would not be happy today. I just feel like 100%. That was one of the biggest things in my journey, was where I finally was able to forgive myself for the things that I've done, where I can look at myself in the mirror and not hate what I see.
Yeah.
And that's freed me up to be able to have these conversations with Elin and say, look, that wasn't cool. You're awesome. I love you so much. It has nothing to do with that, but just know that that's not a good idea.
Mind you, do you even yell? I don't yell. This is, like I said, me. This is what I sound like. But have you ever yelled before, Renee? I can't picture that.
I have, but not to my daughter. I've never yelled at her. Britt's never yelled
gets
at her.
Loud?
It's stern.
But deadly.
And no, well, what happens is when you don't yell, like Britt and I have never yelled at each other. We've never yelled at our daughter. But when you don't yell and all of a sudden you're like this, listen to me.
Oh, totally.
That sounds like it's going to, you know what I mean?
Well, I kind of.
That's how I teach.
I started out yelling, and then I was like, okay, dude, remember, she's 7, she's 3. That's not going to do anything. But then I went from the yelling to being a big baby. And okay, you're going to act like a little crap. I'm going to go ignore you now and then walk away like a total freaking.
Oh my
goodness. Like, yeah. Now,
a dance rehearsal? I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm like, okay, Ava, come here. Come and sit down for a second. Let's just talk this through. And talk. And it's amazing how quick you can resolve a situation.
But you're more settled inside now.
Well, since I'm way I've more known, settled. Exactly.
Since I've known you. This is the most settled I've ever known you to be. Mm-hmm. And the more, you know, there's an old saying that says, when things are right on the inside, nothing could be wrong on the outside. But when things are wrong on the inside, nothing could be right on the outside.
Totally.
So it's the old long line at the bank, go home and kick your dog, right? Yeah. But as you start to see, for me, it didn't come naturally to be calm, you know. Uh-huh. This has happened over lots
totally.
Of prayer,
work,
lots of meditation,
lots of yeah, yeah.
Millennia,
yeah,
millennia, bro.
That's why I say when you explain all this stuff, it's like I know how much work you've put into it, Renee. I mean, I don't know, but I know it's been a lot of years and stuff that some people may never get to in a lifetime, or even get to the first part of it. That's why I say, like, it is so important. I think for everyone to have a mentor like you, you know.
Well, honestly, if they keep listening to the podcast, we'll keep repeating that having...
We haven't even touched on it yet.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
No, but we kind of have prayer and meditation, you know?
Yes.
It's like...
But we got to get down and dirty.
Yeah, and there's lots to talk about.
Oh,
honestly, like for me...
The uncomfortable
shit. Yeah. To me, that's one
unsettling.
Of the... the greatest subjects for me is how to make the world a better place. And it starts with
getting them uncomfortable.
Well, walking through the discomfort to get to a place where you're finally comfortable inside. And then now I don't bump into every immovable object. Right. I walk and around it, you know?
Correct. It also starts with knowing that the world is round. Let's just go there too. So
and it's not all about
it's not
you.
Flat. It's not flat. So
anyway, should we promote this show?
Yes. And so listen, you guys, you know, thank you guys so much for tuning in. What a great show. I want to thank Paige again.
Yes, Paige.
Please check out her podcast, which is called Playing Around, wherever you guys can check out podcasts. And so next Monday is the finale of Dancing with the Stars.
Season 29.
Cher Bear and I will be there. Cher Bear and I will be there front and center, rooting for our, you know, our partners
four
in crime
finalists.
Out there.
Our
who do
four
you guys
finalists.
Want to win?
So
I have to look at the freestyle. I'm basically all, you can erase everything that happened over the past 10 weeks. It all
new
goes
game.
Down to that freestyle. Yeah.
It's a new game.
I have it a is. Favorite, but we'll see if my favorite wins. I am rooting for is. Justina. That's who I'm rooting for. So
that didn't take long.
Yeah, no. So anyways.
You know, and if you're listening, if you're listening to the podcast, and we know that there's a lot of loyal listeners already, tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Yes.
And have their friends tell their friends. We want the more the merrier.
Yes. And just so you guys know, the Tuesday following the finale of Dancing with the Stars, we are doing a live podcast on looplive.com.
I don't know if they want Cher Bear live, but okay.
Oh, hey, they're going to get all of us live and raw.
No.
And don't
wardrobe
forget
malfunction.
To check out. We actually finally have a really dope merch line about to be
oh my
dropping,
God.
Y'all.
You guys, cute cropped sweaters. Like,
it's
so
awesome.
Freaking cute. Great hoodies, great beanies.
And it's just the beginning, tip of the iceberg. So go to myfanthreads.com/prettymessedup and check out the new merch. And listen, if you guys do go there
subscribe.
And you guys buy it, subscribe, post pictures
comment,
of you guys rocking the merch.
Tell us what you guys want to see as far as merch goes, if you like
yeah,
the merch.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah,
if for nothing advice. Else, just go there to see me in a crop top. If
yes.
for no other
crop
reason.
Crop sweater.
You will see Renee hoodie. In a cropped hoodie. You will see Renee. It's fantastic. On the golf course.
Olive green is his color.
Yeah. It is his color. So
no better
listen.
Way to sell him.
Yeah, well, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Anything.
Well, listen, you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Pretty Messed Up on iHeartRadio. And we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Later.
Follow Pretty Messed Up on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.